It's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Hello there, Eric.
Hey, how are you boys doing tonight?
Fabulous. And yourself?
Well, I was worse. And then I basically woke up today not a Raiders fan.
Oh.
And yeah. I was like, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Joe Judge is looking so much better today.
It's so much better. Everything's looking better today. Because we have grown smart people in our building. There's days I wake up and I'm like, how is this person functioning in society? And I truly don't know. And I say this about figures in politics,
mm-hmm.
sports, entertainment, you name it. You name myself. I literally question how I function in society because of all the stupid things that I am capable of doing. But man, so that's my one thought today. My other thought is I'm sitting here watching my son. I'm about to assistant coach soccer, which is why I'm not in studio with you fine gentlemen, because it got moved from 6 to 5. And I'm wondering if I've actually taught him anything, or if he just I think he watches soccer highlights. He's like, I could do that now.
Well,
the problem is he can't quite, because he doesn't understand physics.
You did a good thing, though, that it looked like you all enjoyed. I saw you took the whole fam to see the Bangor Symphony Orchestra over the weekend.
We did a couple great things. I mean, you know, folks here in Bangor, if you have not availed yourself of seeing the Bangor Symphony Orchestra, you are doing it wrong. And yeah, the concert this weekend was, I mean, first of all, it was emotional. Anybody getting, although I must admit, I turned to Christina as they closed the doors. I had a moment of like panic. Like, I hadn't been in a closed, you know, space with a couple hundred people in quite a while. But boy, didn't they do it right. And from the first chord of Copeland's Fanfare for the Common Man, I mean, just, we got a band. And again, if you haven't availed yourself, that's on you. Another thing we did, we hiked Bald Mountain yesterday. That is challenging-er than you'd think from people's casual comments. That's about 300 feet of 45-degree pitch.
Oof.
That's no joke for someone who is, like myself, not in the best of, you know, health. I'm so embarrassed because we were talking, like, you know, I used to run cross country. I used to be in good shape, Rich. I used to be, like, actually physically, I don't want to say attractive because my mug has never been one for, you know, it's always been one for, well, with all due respect, radio. But I used to be in good shape, and now I'm not. And my son at one point up Bald Mountain, he kind of, as I'm huffing and puffing, we're taking a little break, he kind of turned to me and started chuckling. I'm like, boy, you're lucky. You're lucky. Someday it's going to be you.
Yeah. Now, imagine, Eric, I say, as you share that story, imagine you had him 20 years later.
Dear God, Richard, no. you are one of these physical freaks that we all look at like, I don't know how you do it. My dad had me at roughly the same age a little earlier, but he had me around 40, 41. And he would let me tackle him in backyard football. Now I've reasoned it out about the age of, you know, 51, 52, 53. Right before I started actually tackling, you know, boys my own age and doing it properly. And, I guess that's on you, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I don't know. I love you, buddy. I don't know what to say.
Life's about choices, right? Yeah.
Life is about ibuprofen for you, sir.
I've got one more year that I can beat him. One more, no, I'll be around longer, but one more year that I can beat him in a sprint of short distance.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
My kid has already proven himself my athletic equal/superior far before this. I mean, that kid could throw a tight spiral at age 8.
Wow.
So I'm like, all right, you're good. I didn't figure out how to do that until literally he was born. All right, we're here to talk about wine.
Yeah, please.
I cannot
yes.
talk about wine. Where are we? We're in Oregon. I'll talk more about this next week, but this is something that I kind of want to sort of set up and be thinking about. There is this wonderful, and I might have talked about this last year when we talked about this whole topic. I don't remember. But we need to start talking about what sculpted the Western, the Pacific Northwest. Why the Pacific Northwest is what it is today, which is a series of hellscapes and beauty, beautiful scenery, all sort of jumbled upon one another. This is one of the most dramatic geologic events, happened about 11,000 years B.C., give or take, 12 to 11. It is a massive flooding event. Coinciding with other massive movements of a gigantic ice shelf in the North American continent. There was a huge glacial lake called Lake Missoula, and the dams were 2,000 feet high of ice, 2,000 feet. And depending on which geologist you believe, and everybody has their own ideas, this dam burst anywhere between 1 and 100 times around that time, and each time it burst, it sent torrents of water. I mean, torrents of water that we see videos of tsunamis in Japan, we see flooding. This is flooding on a level that people cannot comprehend. Flooding that is thought to indeed have influenced the Noah stories. A lot of stories amongst the Native Americans of massive flooding events. This was global. And it deposited what we call erratics, which are huge rocks that have no geologic reason for being where they are, amongst the Pacific Northwest geology and geography as well, as tremendous soil deposits that are very good for growing things. And so while it was doing this, it was also scouring the earth. So you have, if you look at the Pacific Northwest, and we'll talk about it a little bit more over the next couple weeks, you have vast desert east of the mountains in Washington. You have huge, what they call scab lands, which are these strange, like, pockmarked, not really pockmarked, but they're like lands that were carved out with, obviously, with massive tidal forces, with little strange land masses popping up amongst them. And then you have the Willamette Valley and the Columbia River Valley, which are tremendously important agricultural areas, not only for vines, but for a lot of other things. While I am sure I only have another minute or two, we'll talk a little more about Oregon next week, but it has an enormous amount of wineries, despite the fact that as recently as the mid-70s, it was basically deemed ridiculous to try and plant there. The first people who were trying Erie Vineyards, David Adelsheim, they were laughed at, they were derided. So they saw something, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, but they saw something in the geology, what happened, 12,000, 13,000 years ago that made them say, So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Carrie, how am I doing on time?
Got about a minute.
About a minute. Very good. So anybody who knows Oregon will sort of start in on it. I always like to call it Burgundy's brother from another mother. It is planted to the same sort of Pinot grapes, and I'm sure anybody who knows Oregon kind of knows that about it. So I think maybe where we'll sort of start off next week is this idea of climate, of daring to take on the cool weather grapes and actual cool weather climates, and go from there. I did want to mention we are masking up in the store. Please do mask up when you come on into the store. We are also doing curbside for anyone who wants to do that. Continue to advise people to get the jab and do the right thing. And I will talk to you all next week, I suppose. I got to go teach youngsters how to kick a soccer ball.
There you go. Good luck, Coach, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
Thanks, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, every Tuesday right here on Downtown.